It's a very interesting topic, at least for me, and it really touches on the question of how we should understand Tanakh. We tend to interpret the Psukim in a very, shall we say, superficial kind of way, when the Torah is Netzach, you know, it's eternal, and every word and every letter is, you know, has got shades and nuances of meanings. It's deep. And one example comes from this week's parasha, Parashas Vayeshev, where the Torah describes Reuven. It says, "Vayelech Reuven, Vayishkav es Bilah Pilegesh Aviv." And then in the very same pasuk it says, "Vayu bnei Yaakov Shneimasar." So the Gemara is the first source on page 1 in Shabbos Daf Nun Heim and Beis. Omer Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rab Yonasan Kol HaOmer Reuven Chata Eino Elatoe Shenemar Vayu Bnei Yaakov Shneimasar Malamit Shekulam Shkulim Kiachas. And the Gemara goes on to present three different ways of understanding what exactly happened in the chait of Reuven. But the question we want to ask is, how can the Gemara possibly accuse us of being toim when ein mikra yotzi midei pshuto? I mean, we definitely have a right and even an obligation to interpret the psukim explicitly the way they are. And this Gemara in Shabbos goes on and on. For example, with regard to the Bnei Eli, the Tanakh tells us in Malachim Aleph Perek Beis, the Eis Asher Yishkevun Es Hanashim Atzovos Pesach Ol Moed, which literally means they had relations with these women who came to the Old Moed at the time of Eli. And yet, the Gemara says, Kol HaOmer Bnei Eli Chatu. This again a statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rav Yonasan, Eino El Atoa. And the Gemara goes on to reinterpret what happened over there. A third case you'll find on the bottom of Nun Hei Amid Beis, going on to Nun Vav Amid Aleph. And once again, the same tradition, Kol HaOmer Bnei Shmuel Chatu, Eino El Atoa. And with regard to David HaMelech, where the pasuk says, "Madua Bazisa," this is what Nasan Hanavi tells David HaMelech, "Madua Bazisa is Dvar Hashem Lasos Harabi Einov," and yet Kala Omer, David Chata Eino Elatoa. The Gemara goes on to tell us that Uriah gave a get Croesus to his wife, etc., etc., to understand that parasha in a different context. And again, the Gemara always quotes Psukim to show you that you cannot read the story in Tanakh on a superficial level and take it, shall we say, literally. So the question is, what does this mean? Kol HaOmer Eino Elatoa. So in order to learn this whole parsha of how to interpret the sins of the giants of Tanakh, we really need to set down some basic principles that Chazal and especially the Bali Musa throughout the generations have taught us about the proper way to study Tanakh. And in Mirtz Hashem, after we put together some of the pieces of the puzzle, it's like building a building. You know, you have to put down the foundations first, and then you put the bricks down, one brick here, one brick there, and then a brick on top of the two. Then we can get perhaps some sort of a grasp and an insight about the chatoim of the Gedolei Olam without any toyos. In other words, without making these mistakes. Those toyos which Chazal are trying to undermine from our minds. So to begin with the parasha of the Cheto Shel Reuven, And maybe perhaps the Chet of Ruvay could serve as an archetype, as a binyan av to teach us a derech about how to understand the chatoim of the early greats of our people. Now, in the Gemara itself, in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Hay and Bid Peis, the Gemara brings three opinions as to what happened in the mice of Reuven and Bilhah. According to one opinion, Reuven had such a maisa with Bilhah. According to the second opinion, he thought about having such a maisa. And according to the third opinion, he didn't have any such machshava chas v'shalom, that would be arayos, so machshavas arayos, but rather he was tovea, he demanded the kvod imo lea. In any event, what's common to all these three deos is that Reuven was guilty of some sin, and therefore we want to understand what does it mean that someone who thinks about Reuven that he sinned, he's a toet. Where's the toes here? I mean, the Gemara quotes three opinions. According to all opinions, Reuven was guilty of some sin. And the essay that I think is most important here in our study, which you'll find on page 11, is called the Sichos L'Sefer Breishis of Hagon Rav Avigdor Nevenzahl Sicha Lamed Hei. He's the Rav of the Old City here in Yerushalayim, and it's called Kol HaOmer Reuven Chata Eino Ela Toet. So what I'm going to try to do is try to read certain parts of this essay of Rav Nevenzahl. The essay itself is about 3 pages long, and try, if I can, to highlight some of the points that he makes. I think the most important foundation is right here at the beginning of this Maimar, in which he says that after presenting the three opinions about the sin, the nature of the sin of Reuven with Pilegesh Aviv, with Bilhah, he then goes on to say, Ketzad Lomdim Pshat B'Tanach. He has a whole subsection here in which he presents the fundamentals of how, what rules and regulations we should lay down to study Tanakh. And he says that Havanas Pshat B'Tanakh Tu'una Birur Kaful. Whenever we want to understand Tanakh, we need to clarify from two different perspectives. Aleph Havanas Amilim Kishala Atzmon. We have to study the words of the Tanakh. We have to work very hard to just simply translate the words of Tanakh. That's number one. Number two, Pirush Hamilim Behekshayron. To appreciate the meaning of the words in their context. And this, of course, is intuitively logical. We would all agree with Rav Nevenzahl that whenever we study a text, no matter what that text is, we do have to understand the words, but also the context of the words. What Rav Nevenzahl wants to point out is that when we're learning Tanakh, and we want to understand the words in context, Rav Nevenzahl says it's not enough. Sometimes it may be, but it's not always enough to look at a verse, at a pasuk, and say that the context of a certain word is the verse, is the pasuk. Sometimes we have to go back to the beginning of the parasha in order to appreciate the context. Sometimes, he says, we not only have to go back to the beginning of the parasha to understand that pasuk, we have to understand the end of the parasha. That also is important contextually. So we have to go back and we have to go forward. Then he goes on and he says that in some occasions, even that's not sufficient. It's not enough to read the pasuk in the context of the parasha before it and afterwards, but, and here's the language of Rav Nevenzahl, Chayavim Liros Es HaTanach Kulo. We, number one, have to see the entire Tanakh. There are many psukim in Tanakh that could shed a light on a word or a pasuk in Chumash. And he's going to give an example from Reuven. Not only that, he says, that in order to appreciate the context of the words in a pasuk, very often we have to not only master the entire Torah Shebichsav, meaning Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but we also need to master Torah Shebal Peh, even the oral Torah. And basically what it means is that the perspective that's necessary as a precondition for understanding Tanakh is that of Hakofas Kol HaTorah Kula Mitchila V'Ad Sofa. Who can be Makif Kol HaTorah Kula? That perspective is only possible for Chazal. Only Chazal could understand the entire context of the Tanakh and the Torah itself. So for example, if we take the case of Reuven, and we want to understand the parasha of Reuven and Bilhah, what we really have to do is search through all Tanakh, through all the statements of Chazal, and get a grasp and an understanding on the entire context. Otherwise, we'll misunderstand what happened. And he says that there are psukim throughout Tanakh that are an absolute contradiction. He calls them a stira gemura to what we see here in Parshas Vayeshev in the straightforward interpretation of the, or translation of the words of Tanakh. So basically, what we see here in our Parsha, if we take it at a superficial level, is a stira gemura to what we know about Reuven from other psukim in Tanakh. And we're going to see this over and over again. Reuven is only one example. So it means that when we talk about a chet as it's described in one particular parsha with regard to anyone of the giants, it's impossible to understand these stories and episodes kipshutam on a superficial level, because the pshat itself requires that we understand the heksher, the context, which is so much greater and encompasses so much more than just that pasuk. And here he goes on to say that if you take a look at a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, this you'll see on page 2 of Yevar Makomos. It's the middle one. There's a statement here of Rab Zera that has to be understood if we are meant to analyze the Tanakh. Rab Zera says the following: Im Rishonim b'nei malachim, anu b'nei anashim. If we, says Rab Zera, the Amoraim, were to compare ourselves to the Rishonim — Rishonim means the Gedolei HaTanakh — then they are angels and we are human beings. And all of us can understand the great distance between the two. The Imari Shonim B'nei Anoshim, if you want to call those in Tanakh human beings, then Anu, the Amoraim, are Kechamorim. And when I say Kechamorim, says Rav Zera, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean the Chamor of Rav Chanina ben Doso or Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. They wouldn't even eat something that was a Safek Demai. El Kishar Chamorim. Like your regular run-of-the-mill Chamor. Rashi here sends us to all different sugyas in Shas that describe to us the Chamor of Pinchas ben Yoyer, the Chamor of Rav Chanina ben Doso. Fine. Now, in order to appreciate this statement of Rav Zera about the great distance between later generations and earlier generations, that if later generations means the Amoraim are considered human beings, then the people of Tanakh are Malachim, we have to get an understanding of who the Rishonim are. Because the Rishonim, who lived at the time of the Gemara, considered themselves that much lower on the scale of Madrega than the than the original giants. And not only that, to appreciate the Amoraim of the Talmud, we have to also get a picture of the Rishonim, because we only understand the Gemara through the Rishonim. So here I want to share with you an insight of the Tulzer Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yosef Yudalei Bloch, in his Sefer Shi'urei Das, which you'll see on page 3. He says, in order to appreciate and get a vision, perhaps, of the Gedolei Yisrael that lived in the last few generations, we're not even talking about the Rishonim, we're talking about the Achronim, he says, let's talk for a moment about the Gaon of Vilna. And he says the following. Reb Chaim Volozhin, who was the outstanding disciple, and he's trustworthy in describing his Rebbe, he writes about the Gaon, about the Gra, that the Gra himself told Reb Chaim Volozhin that a Magid, some sort of an angel from Masifta Derekia, appeared to the Gaon in a dream and revealed to him Alpayim Umasayim Veshishim Ofanim. He revealed to him 2260 ways B'Shem Yud Beis Al Pirish Aposik Alu Zeh Banegev. So this has to do with the name of Hashem that appears in one particular parasha that was interpreted in 22,060 ways. And the Gaon said about all these interpretations of the Magid Mimasifta Derekia, Sheba Ofen Echad, that I, the Gaon, was able to understand from one of those 22,000, etc., the kochos of kol abrios, the powers of all living creatures, v'chol aver, and every single limb in the body, ma inyono. So Rabosai, this is a picture of the Vilna Gaon. He was able to understand the kochos of all brios and all avarim, from one out of 2260 explanations that were given to him on a pasuk in Torah by the Magid of the Masifta Derekia. Therefore, says Rav Bloch, "Halo davar zehu davar she'efshal lahamin bo ulitzayer zeh b'sichleinu." He says, "Can anybody honestly say that he can get a picture and understanding and relate in his mind to the greatness of the Gaon Mivilna?" He gives an example, a mashal. Take the greatest philosopher, the genius of the generation. Let's take an Einstein and introduce a dull person, an average intelligent person, to Einstein, and ask that person if he's able to understand Einstein or anything that interests Einstein. He says the nimshal is, if we in our generation try to understand the Vilna Gaon and his mind, it would be like an imbecile trying to understand the mind of Einstein. Now, the Gaon of Vilna lived relatively close to our generation. He lived at the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s. I think my Rebbe said that he once met someone who knew someone in his youth that was at the bris of the Beis HaLevi. I mean, that takes you back to the period of the Gaon Mivilna. So the Gaon Mivilna is relatively close to our generation. Now, Reb Chaim tells us, Reb Chaim Volozhin, that the students asked the Vilna Gaon if he were to live, if he had lived in the generation of the Amoraim, would he, the Gaon, imagine himself to be on the level of an Amora? So the Gaon responded that if I would live 1,000 lives, I would not reach the toenails of an Amora. Ulai karamban. Maybe I could reach the level of a Rishon, says the Gaon, if I lived at the time of the Amoraim. And which Rishon? So they thought maybe he meant the Rambam. No, I could never reach the level of the Rambam. Maybe the level of the Rambam. So Rabosai, we cannot get a glimpse of the Gaon. The Gaon says that he would have to live 1,000 years to reach the toenails, the ankles of an Amora. And maybe he could reach the level of a Rishon. That's what the Gaon said. Could you imagine, therefore, what the level of the Rishonim are like? Shemipiyam Anuchayim, that every word of a Rishon has to be understood. And by the way, I always tell my students, if you don't understand a piece in the Rashba, it means you didn't understand the Rashba. That's your problem. It's not the Rashba's problem. You have a kash on a Rishon, find an answer. And if you can't find an answer, then you have to admit that you didn't understand the Rishon. Therefore, he says, can we get any sort of a concept about what an Amor is like? And Rab Zera says about the Amoraim that we're human beings compared to the Malachim, the angels that lived at the time of the Tanakh. So imagine our Yerida, our Nefilah, in comparison to the earlier generations. It's Ein L'Shayer V'Ein L'Harech. There's no Erech. There's no way of evaluating it. So the Telzer Rosh Hashiva says that when you talk about the Shir Koma, the level reached by the earlier generations, anyone who says that our level is like their level is just a pessy. He's just an imbecile. He's fooling himself. And therefore the Telzer Rosh Hashiva concludes his presentation by saying that we have a responsibility and obligation to protect ourselves from those Deos Kozvos, from those Fakrumta understandings of people who don't know what they're batting about, Hamashchisos, which are very destructive. This is the Telzer Rosh Hashiva. Now, I don't know if any of you here learned in Tells. Is there a branch of Tells in Toronto?
Cleveland. No, in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago, okay. So there's Ne'er Yisrael in Toronto, right? There's no relationship between Ne'er Yisrael and Tells. Okay, fine. I made a mistake, sorry. Now, Rabosai, if we take a look at the Ne'er Yisrael Rosh Hashiva, which is on page 6, Rav Yaakov Runiman, Zichrono Levracha, my father knew him very well, my brother learned by him. So he talks about a concept called Sfas HaTorah, the language of the Torah. And he says that when you read about the people of Tanakh, the Rishonim Kemalachim, and you want to get an idea, a concept of the Shir Koma, you have to appreciate what's called the Sfas HaTorah, the language of the Torah. He writes about the Sfas HaTorah, which you'll see here on page 6, Yesh La Sofa Acheres, V'Signon Eloki. There's a very unique style to the language of the Torah and its presentation. It is a divine style. She'enenu Mizdahem Loshen Bnei Yodah. The Torah uses words in a different way than we use words. And he explains himself. He says, "B'yeser biur ha'yisod bazehu." What's the fundamental principle? Shekol musagei haTorah nitzchis. That all the concepts of the Torah are eternal. Shenikbu b'tzuros, and they were formulated in a particular way. Shal asharos tzivuyim no adam li alfei doros. Everything the Torah writes and commands and mandates is meant to be understood for thousands of generations. Li ein sof. Time is not an element here. We're talking about the eternity of the Torah. And therefore, Srichim Lichol Besocham, what has to be included in the words of the Torah? Kol Ofanim V'Oros Avsharios. All the ways of possibly understanding the Torah and its teachings throughout history, in every generation. And therefore, says Rav Rudiman, also aloshon, the language, koleles bituyim zeim lemaisim hanim dodim dar dar lefi erika. There's got to be an expression which is identical to every generation, meaning the actions that are described in the words of the Torah have to be understood in their bituyim, in their expression, by each generation according to its erech. V'chol adam l'fi dargaso. So we have to understand the Torah's language in describing the actions of the Anshei HaTanakh, the Gedolei HaTanakh, with regard or relevant to, which, or what word should I use, respective to the level of that generation in which the Maisa took place, and relevant and relative to the level of each individual. So for example, we use the word Ritzicha, which means murder, right? And Niuf, which means immorality. When we use it in relationship to the Doros HaRishonim referring to the Anshei HaTanakh, says Rav Rudiman, for them, Avizrayu, right, Avizrayu is the word that we use to describe something that might have a smell of Avodah Zorah or Ritzich or Niuf, right, Avizrayu Darayus, or like, for example, Yichud is called Avizrayu, or certain kinds of practices are called Avizrayu Avodah Zorah. He says that when we talk about Ritzicha and Niuf, with referring to the Rishonim Kimalachim, the Avizrayu of Ritzicha and Niuf has only a far removed reflection of what we would call Ritzicha and Niuf in the context of our generation. He says, Avizrayu babua de babua, it's a shadow of a shadow, a reflection of reflection, shal retzach v'niuch, v'emer mazim kalim l'cheit zel li'acher. It's only an allusion to that sin, or to another sin. K'roi retzicha v'niuch hamur b'yachas l'dor sachronim, in contrast, whereas if we use the word retzicha or niuch with regard to the later generations, our generations, then we can understand those words kipshutam, based on the erech hapachus, the very low evaluation of our generation. And Rav Nevetzel, although he doesn't quote Rav Rudiman, but he gives a beautiful mashal on page 11 in his sichos. He writes, "Im ima bav misaper shebno yodeh ledaber, a woman, a mother, tells us, my son knows how to speak." So what does she have in mind? Well, it depends who she's talking about, which son. If she's talking about her little baby who's 8 months old, then what she probably means is that he knows how to say Abba and Ima, Tati and Mami. Right? And she's notifying the public something that really gets her excited, because the baby is learning slowly to learn to speak. But if she says, my son knows how to speak and he's 30 years old, then we have to assume that she doesn't mean that he knows how to say Abba V'Ima, because she wouldn't be excited about that. That would be very sad if he's 30 years old. But rather what she means, something else. He knows how to speak means that he's a great speaker. When he publicly addresses an audience, he really knows how to speak. Or alternatively, you know, he has all the abilities to formulate words and sentences in the most intellectual way. He's a bal kosher shichnua. He knows how to convince us. He knows how to have an impact on us. So imagine the same three words came out of a mouth. My son, well, more than three words. My son knows how to speak. Five words. And it means two different things. Says Rav Nevetzel, otan milim mamish, Pirusham nikba eifo lefi ziu ma'amadu shal ha'adam alav anu medabrim. In other words, the same words mean two different things relative to the identity and the status of the person about whom we're speaking. Vanimshal, what is he trying to convey, Rav Nevinsal? He says, Kshaposing medabrim b'tzadikim, if the Torah is describing someone who we know to be a tzaddik from Tanakh, chayavim lomar she'ein kavanas hamil kipshutan, don't interpret the words literally. Even though the Torah is utilizing the same words that it would to describe the low lives or the simple people, don't interpret the words that they both did the same exact action. The same words mean two different things if on the one hand they are describing a mature person who's a tzaddik, or if they're describing a child who is going off, you know, off the way. So again, the idea here is the Sfas HaTorah. To appreciate the Sfas HaTorah, to understand words in that context, and to appreciate about whom these words are being used. They're describing the actions of whom. And in that context, to understand. Again, the question that we want to ask here is, and that's hopefully the question that we're going to answer in a few minutes, how are we doing on the clock? We still have some time. Is why does the Torah use those same words to describe the actions of a tzaddik and the actions of a rasha? That's what we want to get to. But before that, just to emphasize how much here is at stake in appreciating the Sfas HaTorah and why we need the guidance of Chazal, who understand and comprehend all of the Torah, in order to guide us as to how to understand the parshiyos of the Torah. I want to present to you here, which you'll see on page 4, a maimar of Rav Aaron Kotler, who was the Kletzke Rosh Hashiva and the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, called Osef Chidushei Torah Agon Rav Aaron Kotler Havana Amitis B'Sipurei HaTorah, a true, genuine understanding of the stories of the Torah. And he quotes the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Me'ilah in his opening paragraph. The Rambam writes that, again, I won't quote the Rambam verbatim, it's a long piece, but he says, when we look at the laws and the statutes that are given by the Torah, we are absolutely prohibited from approaching them and interpreting them with the same kind of attitude that we interpret things that appear in the newspaper. That's the remez in the parsha of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is when you embezzle Hegdesh. What you're doing is you're taking something that's Kedusha and Elokit, it's divine, and you're being Moel, you're making it into Chulin. Be very careful, says the Rambam, about the way you think about the mitzvahs of the Torah, the Chukei HaTorah, the Mishpatei HaTorah. Says Rav Aaron, HaTorah Elokit, the divine Torah, hi rechava midei eretz, ve'amuka midei yam. Nobody can say that he understands all of the Torah. It's endless. Its depth plummets infinity. V'im adam nigash l'torah, if a person can approach the Torah, b'kli sichlo, with his limited intellectual kalim, ha-metzumtzamim, umaricha, and he evaluates the Torah, l'fi midas ha-sagoso ha-afsis, with his level of comprehension, which is null, which is nil, instead of climbing up to the Torah, he lowers the Torah down to his level. And those who falsify the Torah in that way by understanding the Torah on their level with their low concepts are being moel in hegdish, the greatest ve'ilah that's possible. Achem ein adam yochel laharich Torah lefisa hasagasa hu. Ella, the only way he could really truly evaluate the Torah, not with his concepts and his conceptual level, but all of lekabel is biyuri chazal, because it was the chazal who had the comprehension of the Torah, and they will guide him in his understanding of kol mila v'osha betorah. Ki lashon haTorah eino lashon regila. The language of the Torah is not the day-by-day, daily language as we use it, Shana Mishtam Shubba. Ve'ineno, it shouldn't be understood lufi musagim, musageinu anu. Kidei lavino, to understand the Torah, tzarech hasaga kabira. We need an absolutely powerful comprehension, limud Torah lishma, and we have to understand the Torah for the sake of the Torah, b'kedusha, b'tara, and we have to be part of a tradition, a kabbalah ne'mana, ish mipi ish. That's what a base medrash is all about. You know, you get people, and it's so common in our contemporary life, who never walked into a base medrash, and they have the chutzpah, the audacity, to tell you misunderstood the Torah. I once heard a lecture from someone, I'm not going to mention his name, who the whole point of his lecture was to prove that Hagar was the heroine and Sarah, I don't even want to say the words. But this is what goes on today. Everyone is coming to Fakrum the Torah. Lachain says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rak al yidei shal shalas kabbalah shal chazal. If you're part of the tradition and the transmission of the Torah with that glorious chain, if you link yourself up to that glorious chain, yadu, because Chazal understood and they knew lahasbir, to explain the mishpatei and the lashon haTorah, the sfas haTorah, lidrosh kol os v'tag shebetorah, they can darshan every word, every letter in the Torah, every tag, every crown on the letter in the Torah. Yecholim anu lahavin mashu. Then we can get some limited understanding. Lufi midas hasagoseinu b'divrei haTorah kedoshim, but only if we're open to the guidance of Chazal. So Chazal offer us the keys to begin to understand the actions of the Rishonim Kemalachim. And you'll see on the next page, on the same page, up on top, the Ramchal in his Sefer Ma'amorim, he writes, HaKlal, you should understand the very principle, Shebiyodam, what the Chazal understood was B'maisa Tzadikim, Koma Sheyesh Lidrosh L'Shvach, Tzarech Lidrosh L'Shvach. We have a person who's a Tzadik, then anything he does, you should interpret it in a way that's good, right? L'schus, l'shvach, b'rishon l'hepach. But if it's a Rosh that you're talking about, it's the exact opposite. Kach hiya kabbalah. That's the way we were taught to understand Tanakh. Kavanoso shel bori yisparach b'milim ha'ksuvus b'torah, iso lirmos, al kol pratei ha'rosh shel rishonim. The Torah wanted to give us allusions to every single detail of the rishus, the evil of the evildoers. Levirus kol chelke gnusam. Ubehepech b'tzadikim. In the case of tzadikim, tell us the shvach of the tzadikim. So now you ask me the question, and this is the punchline of today's shiur. So why is it that Torah uses the same language as we saw in the mashal of Rav Nevinsal to describe the actions of the tzaddikim as if chas v'shalom they did terrible actions and violated terrible serious sins? Where's our toes? After all, ein mikri yotzim de pshuto. And the answer is a gemara in Yevamos, which you'll see on page 2. The gemara darshins a pasuk in Tehillim nun usvivav nisara miod. Melamed Shakadosh Baruch Hu medagdekim svivav. Rashi says about tzadikim haolchem akrav kechut hasayra. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when he evaluates the actions of the tzadikim, he does so with a very harsh and demanding high standard. And the Gemara goes on to give various examples of this. So if you take a look on page 8, You'll see, one second, is it page 8? Just one second, Rav Dessler. Page 7, sorry. And this is Mirtam Eliyahu Chelik Aleph, Amud 161, Chataeyem, Shel Gedolei Olam. So Rav Dessler explains, when a person uses the word Avla, and he says that somebody did an Avla, he did a terrible thing, Lo Nuchal Adas, we have no way of knowing what is the level of the severity of that Avera, that Avla that he's talking about. What does he mean? What does he have in mind? What's his intention? Unless we know something about the midos of the person about whom he's speaking. When he says that somebody was guilty of a sin, well, who is that person? What's his level? Dargos HaMusar, what kind of ethical level has he achieved? Aracha B'Avla, when you speak about something as an Avla, it also entails another variable, namely with the Erech Midos HaMarech, the person who's evaluating it, or the being who's evaluating it, what is his system, what is barometer? Vehine, Harachasa Shel HaTorah Kedosha, if we want to look at the descriptions of the sins of the greats of the Torah, the Rishonim, Kemalachim, Gedolei Olam, then we have to look at it from the perspective of the Arach of the Torah itself. What is the evaluation, the barometer, which the Torah applies to evaluate and analyze the sins of the Rishonim? Because the greatest evaluation that's possible, the most genuine and perfect evaluation, can only come from the Torah itself. And that's what we mean when we say Torah min Hashamayim. The Torah has a level of objectivity which is above any sort of what we call negios, you know, personal invested interests. And therefore the mishpat, the evaluation or the judgment of the Torah, is the mishpat ha-emes muchlet, is absolute truth. So when we talk about avchanas ha-Torah b'chatoim, when the Torah evaluates the sin, its evaluation is daka min adaka ein shir. It's subtle without any shir. He says that even if you were to take a microscope, you would not be able to see in that microscope the dakus, the subtlety of the mishpatei HaTorah, the way the Torah evaluates and judges people's actions. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, we have to know that gam aloshon asher bo mitaeres HaTorah chatoi gdolea hi lefi arachasa zu. When the Torah uses very harsh language to describe the actions of the gdolei olam of Tanakh, we have to understand that those languages, those expressions are being used according to the Torah's evaluation and judgment of the person. When the Torah describes the action of one of the Gedolei Olam as Gneva, we have to understand that that's from the Torah's evaluation, that perspective. And he gives the example of Parshas Achan and Sefer Yoshua. You remember Milchemes Ai and that whole story. We have to look and understand the evaluation of the Torah in the Mice of Achan. We begin to understand the subtlety of the Torah's evaluation, because what it says in the Parsha of Achan is that there's a Tzibur and there's a Yachid. And what does it say? The pasuk says, "Chata Yisrael," that the people of Israel. Again, we're not talking about Achan. Chata v'gam avru es brisi lachu min acherem ganvu kichashu some of bekleim. It describes in great detail, with very harsh terms, what the people were guilty of in terms of stealing from the cherem. Says Rav Dessler, nobody stole from the Cherem, only Achan, one person, one Jew stole from the Cherem. And the answer is that Achan was not coming from a vacuum. Yadua Godel Koch Hashpas Hatzibur Hayachid Shebetocho. The tzibur, the community in which a person lives, has a tremendous impact on the individual, and therefore the Torah is testifying about the perspective and the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Me'ila Becherem, taking from the booty. And if the Tzibur had the proper attitude that Me'ila Becherem is Richuk, it's Me'ila, it's Bazui, it's Tiyuv, it's terrible things, then if that would have been the attitude of the Tzibur on that Madrega, then it would have been impossible for an individual like Achan to have the Ha'azis Panim to go against the values of the Tzibur and to steal from the Cherem. What are Klal Yisrael guilty of? Chisaron Dakazeh, a subtle, infinitesimal imperfection, deficiency. Shekemat Iyaf Shalonu Lavchino. We wouldn't have even been able to evaluate it or to notice it. Is therefore when the Torah uses the language of lachu ganvu kichashu, as if they were guilty of a chet gas, of a very serious violation, what it means is that the Torah goes down to the depths of the heart, plummets to the subtleties of the nefesh of the Jew, and in this case of Klal Yisrael, to notice that and evaluate that they were guilty here of something dak shebedak, which is infinitesimal. Harelanu dugma l'tiur chait al piknei midas haTorah kedosha. The Torah in its evaluation of the Knesset Yisrael, the Tzibur of Israel, on their level, understands that there must have been some root, some source for gneva in terms of their relationship to the and their attitude towards the Cherem. And therefore the Torah uses harsh language. Again, everything, says Rav Dessler, depends upon the level of the person about whom the Torah is describing and the level of the evaluation, who is doing that evaluation. In this case, the Torah itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Neventzal, if you take a look on page 11, where in the paragraph MS, Hamidah Shalosh and Tanakh, you'll see something very similar. So let's just summarize, because our time is very quickly coming to an end. Well, we see something very clear that we have to come to a conclusion. That when the Tanakh describes the sins of the fathers of our nation, it's clear without a suffix that this is only to be understood within the measurement of Rishonim Kimalachim, of Rabbi Zera. And that there's something called the Svas HaTorah, the concepts of the Torah, the Chatoim of the Rishonim, are subtle, very, very subtle. And the principle is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Medagdeik im HaTzadikim Kechut HaSaira. And it's Mufla Lizbonein Beparshios Dor HaMidbar. If you want to take, for example, and this is the subject on page 11 of an essay of Rav Simcha Zissel Breida, someone who, if you remember, I used to quote very, very often in Toronto, in my time in Toronto. The Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva talks about the Dor HaMidbar, and we talk about the sins of the Dor HaMidbar. Says the Rosh Yeshiva, Mufla Lizbonein Beparshios Dor HaMidbar Livachach Shegam Liachar Chateyem, after their so-called sins, Zachul is Galos Shechina, only that generation was singled out for this great amazing level of the revelation of Shechina. Umizen Nilmad Godem Malosam Madrigosam Amufla Vakamadak Vizoyer Chetam, to appreciate their great level, something beyond our understanding, and therefore how subtle are their sins. And you talk about the level of the greats. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the level of Moshe Rabbeinu was such that even when he was speaking to people and having interchanges with human beings, he was still thinking of Hashem, and he was Davik Peshchina. He lived on and thought on two levels of consciousness. And the Rambam goes in and says that that was the darga, the level of the Avos. They were on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. And even when they were involved in interchange with people, they were still Davik Peshchina. The Sfarno writes about the Avos that they reached the Madrega of Adam Arishon Kodem Lechet. So Rabbosai, when we try to evaluate the Shiftei Ka, and we say that let's understand the Pasuk in its simple meaning, is Kol Omer Ruvein Chata, it means Bechet Chomer Shal Arayos Ein Elatoa. Again, you have to see why it's not a Chet of Arayos, according to the various interpretations of Chazal. But at the end of the day, says Rav Nevitzal, Ruvein Chata Lefrak Be'i Shikol Adas Maspik. He jumped the gun, he didn't take a little extra time to evaluate the situation. But Lefi Gadluso Maluso Shal Ruvein Hishmisa Torres Cheto Akal Lecheta Rayos Kaved V'Chomer Shal Kol Ish Acher. It's all relative to the level of the person in which you describe it. And for Ruvain on his level, that Chet Kal relative to him on a subjective element is compared by the Torah to a Chet Chomer, and therefore Vayishkav Bilo. And the same thing is going to apply, says Rav Nevitzal, to Bnei Eli, to David HaMelech, to the Dor HaMidbar. And the Chofetz Chaim has a fascinating understanding of the Chet HaMeraglim, in which he goes into the subtleties of the level of the Meraglim. And Rabbi Aaron Kotlin, the same Maimer that I showed you before, talks about the rejection of Yishmael from the house of Avraham Avinu, Ayin Shav. So Rabbi Osai, will stop here, and it's been very good to see you and to spend a little time with you. I honestly believe from the bottom of my heart that this understanding of Tanakh is so critical, especially in our time. We're being faced by such, you know, bombarded by such waves of I don't know what to call it, but basically to be Moel Behegdesh, you know, and take the Halakha Torah, the Torah Kedosha, and bring it down to such lower levels. We really have to fortify ourselves, and Mirtz Hashem, if we strengthen ourselves through the eyes of Chazal, we will avoid any of those distortions of the Torah, and we'll get a clearer picture of the Torah itself. Keni Ratzon. Amen.
I have one question, though. So the Michael Asher stole. The reversion would say it wasn't the first time that he stole. And I understand that you're saying Klal Yisrael is culpable because there's an atmosphere of, you know, that led to what he did. But still, remember, some reversion say it's not the first time he stole. It's the first time he stole. Okay, you know, I'm going to step shut. But if he had a history of being criminal, whatever it is, then,
I think what we're saying, David, is how do we produce an achan, a person who can implement crimes of that sort over and over again, the apex of which, of course, was the Me'ila from the Cherem.
Yes.
And how do you, where does he come from? Chazal, for example, speak about, in the Gemara in Makkos, the unusual number of Rotzchim B'Shogeg up in the north. And there were three Arei Miklat in a small area. And the Gemara says that there were a lot of Rotzchim there. What does it mean, a lot of Rotzchim? It means that the society was careless and was Mezalzel in Kedushas Chai Adam. Had they been more careful, they wouldn't have produced these Rotzchim. Again, these Rotzchim were only Shogigim, but Shogig is also an element of negligence. So how do we produce an Achan unless the community at large is guilty of such a thing?
Alright,
call to it, Rabbi Osai. All the best to you. Thank you so much. And have a great week and a great Chanukah, if I don't see you before Chanukah.